True.
Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Will Stevenson.
It's 8:15, almost 8:16 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Hour 2 of Galesburg Live is underway. Thanks for joining us. I'm Will Stevenson. My normal game is Galesburg's Evening News, weeknights from 5 to 6 p.m. So if you've not heard us or heard me at 5 p.m., I would certainly encourage you and very much appreciate your undivided attention at that hour of the day as well. Thank you for joining us, though, this morning, nonetheless, here on Galesburg Live. Both of our conversations, by the way, will be on WGIL.com after... Oh, there you go. Will that work, Mark? There you go. I realize my next guest put on the headphones and couldn't hear anything, and, well, let's just say it was operator error. Anyway, as I was saying, our conversations here this hour and our previous hour will be on WGIL.com after 9 o'clock, and if you need to catch up for any reason, including with my next guest this morning. He is, you may know him as the Knox County Coroner, but more likely you know him as the owner of Watson Thomas Funeral Home in Galesburg. Mark Thomas joins me this hour. Good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning, Will. Thanks for having me.
Very, very glad to have you for sure. And yes, it was my fault you couldn't hear for a second there. Well, I'm terribly sorry.
That's okay.
But to be fair, that means not only would you not be able to hear me, you wouldn't be able to hear you. So,
oh, wow.
You know.
That's... unfortunate.
exactly. I wanted to just talk to you about the business this morning. I think that's probably a subject we've not broached on this program in at least a good long while. So let's say we start at the beginning. How long have you been in the funeral business
now? Since 1994, so 25 years.
What led you to it? What got you interested in it? And what kind of made you decide that this was something you could make a career out of?
Well, that is a great question.
Sorry, I loaded it up for you there.
Without a really great answer, you know. You know, you get to that age in high school and your parents start asking you, hey, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? And at the time, I virtually had no idea, as most kids do. And,
sure.
And actually, my best friend in high school, he was the one that was kind of interested in going into funeral service. And being my best friend, I kind of just tagged along and thought it sounded interesting. And 25 years later, I'm the funeral director, and he is not.
Well, it worked out for one of you.
Yeah, so that worked out for both of us. So.
Yeah, one out of two is still a pretty good batting average, I guess. But and that brings up an important point. I had no idea, and I grew up in Kewaunee and lived blocks away from a funeral home there that the Rux family owns and operates, that if that name sounds familiar, one of the girls' basketball coaches, Mike Rux, comes from that family. We joke that anybody who graduated from Kewaunee High School at some point ends up doing more successful things somewhere else, but that's neither here nor
there.
That's
right.
But as much as I was exposed to that family and that business over the years, I didn't know for the longest time that there was a whole college-level field of study for something like that.
Yeah, Illinois requires an associate's degree.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, they just require 2 years of mortuary school to graduate. So it's 2 years of college, get an associate's degree, and then you have to serve a one-year internship or apprenticeship. So it's a three-year process, and after that, you're a fully licensed funeral director.
What, in terms of education, how involved is that over the at least two years that you study that? How much detail, I guess, maybe is involved when you want to become a funeral director?
Sure. You know, as with anything, kind of your first year is just a lot of general eds and those kind of things, a lot of science-based stuff. And then your second year, you delve more into learning the embalming process and restorative art, funeral law, customs, those kind of things.
What I imagine, though, it was probably difficult for you at times to study all that, wasn't it? It seems you said science, which just terrifies me to no end, quite frankly, which is why I got into a business where I could talk for a living. But I guess we don't and maybe because it's the funeral business and you don't maybe sometimes think about it till you have to, but there is a lot of science that goes into that, isn't there?
Well, sure, especially when it comes to, you know, the actual embalming procedure and the embalming process. It's, you know, we use chemicals. Chemicals equate to science, so different chemicals have different reactions and have different effects on the human body. So, yes, there definitely are a lot of there is a lot of science involved, and science was never my strong suit either. And when you said a lot of studying, you weren't talking to me.
Well, I hear that. I made the mistake of going to a college that would let me take electives at the same time as I took my gen ed.
Oh, nice.
So I was able to do college radio work and things like that.
Excellent.
Right away. And, you know, after a while, you don't really care so much about the gen eds.
Yeah.
When you're allowed to do that.
Yeah, I was just trying to get through school. It was, you know, school was never really my strong suit. And, you know, so I did what I needed to do to get through it. And, here I am 25 years later.
There's a reason why I joke that I was in the top two-thirds of my class in high school. But
I was in the top third, so
hey, show off.
Yeah.
Great. You're going to brag for the rest of the hour now. Fantastic.
Absolutely.
I need to take a break here, and then I want to talk to you more about your career and transitioning into being an owner of a business and
absolutely.
That sort of thing. Mark Thomas is the owner of Watson Thomas Funeral Home in Galesburg. We'll continue our discussion after this on Galesburg Live on WGIL. It is 8:22. Good morning. It's 8:23 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Live continues. Thanks for joining us on this Saturday morning. I'm Will Stevenson. My guest this hour is Mark Thomas, owner of Watson Thomas Funeral Home in Galesburg. I mentioned, and we were talking a little bit off the air, we mentioned that there's, you know, this whole mortuary science program at a lot of schools have. Carl Sandburg College is one of those, and you kind of give them a little bit of guidance in terms of how they should structure that program in a maybe a small way, right?
Well, sure. I've been on the advisory board for the mortuary science program out there for, gosh, I can't count how many years now, but we have an annual meeting, and, you know, certainly we discuss the status of the school and, you know, where they're succeeding and where there's a failure and you know, where to go from there. There's obviously, with anything, there's certain guidelines that they have to follow, so we can't just say, well, we think this class might be the best or might be a better change than what they're currently taking, because there's certain guidelines and certain classes that students have to take in order to pass mortuary school.
Does a lot of that change over the years, or does that pretty much stay consistent?
I think probably what's changed the most over the years is obviously computers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do a lot more on the computer and internet than we did 25 years ago when I first started. We virtually did nothing on the computer and zero on the internet. So, you know, that's definitely changed a lot, technology and social media.
Speaking of changing a lot, as you said, you've been doing this for pretty much 25 years now. When you started, you weren't a business owner. Kind of talk a little bit about where you started and how you got to here, and
sure.
And then maybe move into how it ended up that opportunity struck and you're able to own your own funeral.
Yeah. Home. So my timeline was after high school, I decided I wanted to do this, and attended my first year and took my general education classes right here at Carl Sandburg College.
Mm-hmm.
I transferred after that to Southern Illinois University, which at the time was the only school in Illinois that had an associate's degree in mortuary science.
Mm.
The other schools just had a certificate. Not being around funeral service at all, I wasn't 100% sure this is what I thought I was going to do for 40 years. So I wanted to go somewhere where I'd at least come out with an associate's degree.
There you go.
And so I went to Southern Illinois, and I completed my schooling down there. I served an 8-week practicum or internship at Pyatt Funeral Home down in Pinckneyville.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of your actual mortuary science. It's classes you take. You actually go work live in a funeral home you know, just to make sure that it's a good fit. And then after that, you graduate, serve a 1-year apprenticeship, actually came back here to Galesburg. I worked at Hinchliffe Pearson West as an apprentice funeral director. After I completed most of my internship, I found a long-term job over in Bloomington at Beck Memorial Home, and I was there for just about 3.5 years when I heard about Mr. John Watson's longtime employee had left, and He was kind of looking to hire somebody, hopefully a Galesburg native. And so John and I got together, and I worked for him for 11 years. And one of the things that we talked about when I first came to work for him as a 24-year-old was, you know, what would be my opportunity to potentially buy the place someday. And you know, he said if it all worked out, certainly might be an opportunity there. So 11 years and 4 days, my wife and I purchased the funeral home. So,
did you imagine that you would ever get to that point where you'd own the funeral home? Was that sort of the long-term goal once you were sure that this was what you wanted to do?
Yeah, after I'd been working in a funeral home for about 2 or 3 years, I definitely knew ultimately that I wanted to own a funeral home. So I kind of had certain ways that I liked to do things at the funeral home and take care of families. And truly the best way to be able to do that is to be able to call all the shots. So,
yeah. In my industry, and you know, you can talk about, don't get me started on how the radio industry has changed in some ways, not for the better over the years,
right.
But I joked, I don't know, I don't recall if it was either here in this on the air or during a break, where I said that that I was able to take air courses in my field of study right away, which probably kind of ruined any possibility I had for, you know, taking my gen ed seriously. But on the other hand, there was a class I took where we had basically a different guest speaker in the industry every
sure.
week, and we were supposed to write a report every week on what the speaker discussed. The first week we had a speaker in this class, and it's a freshman level, you know, you're supposed to take this course this first year, was someone who may or may not still be employed by a Chicago radio station, I don't know, but his basic message to us in a class called Careers in Radio was to don't get into the business.
Run.
And I don't know that that's really the message you want to give to a bunch of impressionable kids who really want to do this. But in terms of maybe your experience with the mortuary science program at Sandberg, or maybe in others that you talk to who are interested in it, do you find that it's something that people say they want to get into and then maybe change their minds about it once they see how it works a lot, or is it one of those areas where you're in it and, you know, not to say there's no turning back necessarily, but there's really no reason for you to turn back?
Yeah, most people leave for personal reasons. They just realize that, you know, it's a lot more than what they imagined. You know, it's not just standing at the front door handing out memorial folders or driving our fancy Lincolns or Cadillacs and wearing suits. You know, there's a lot more to it than that. And you know, the attrition rate is pretty high in funeral service. The amount of people that graduate versus the amount of people that are in it in 5 years, it's probably a good 50%. So,
what do you say to people to maybe either get them to change their mind or convince them to maybe, you know, this is kind of a noble calling?
Right. Well, you know, the thing about funeral service is you can't really fake your way through it. You know.
Yeah.
I think there's certain jobs out there that you can do. You can go to work and maybe not love it, but still perform at a high level. And funeral service, I just don't think is one of those. It's, you know, it is a calling and it is a noble profession. And if your heart is not in it that day, then, you know, that family, they're only going to lose their dad, mom, husband, wife, whoever it might be, one time. For us, it's what we do every day. And you're not thinking that day that it's their mom, their one time to have a service for their mom, then, you know, you're not doing yourself or that family a service.
I just completely lost my train. Oh, I know what it was I was going to say. It's still early on a Saturday morning. What can I tell you?
Need more coffee.
Well, who doesn't? But I think that's so important what you just said, but I imagine that, like with a lot of other professions and other things that you do in life, I imagine, though, it can still kind of take a toll on you, can't it? Maybe like with a lot of professions, mental health is something that we've not really addressed to the degree that maybe we should in these types of jobs.
Nope, you're 100% right. Funeral service and funeral directors, embalmers, we've always just been kind of left to fend for ourselves, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, mental health is definitely something that's very strong. And I've got a vacation starting a week from today. I will be on vacation, and I'm quite looking forward to that mental health break.
Ooh, fancy.
Yeah.
But aren't you pretty much gone somewhere every weekend because your kids are in sports and things like that?
Somewhere.
Aren't you always on vacation is what I'm saying?
Hey, wait a minute.
I'm kidding.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Kidding,
yeah,
Mark.
All right. Yeah, well, you know, my kids play baseball, and, well, you know, this time of year, fortunately, it's wrapping up. Andrew, my oldest, plays Legion baseball, and they're in districts right now. So if we don't win a couple of games today, their season is done, and we can close the books on 2019 baseball season.
Well, good luck to them nonetheless.
Yes.
That's I know that you spend a lot of time and effort balancing family and work life.
Yes.
And sometimes the two melt together, I imagine.
Sometimes.
All right. I need to take another break. We'll talk more about the business of running a funeral home and how you care for people in that process with Mark Thomas, owner of Watson Thomas Funeral Home in Galesburg.
Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Will Stevenson.
AM 837 at WGIL. Galesburg Live continues. I'm glad you're with us this morning. I'm Will Stevenson, host of Galesburg's Evening News, which we bring to you Monday through Friday night, 5 to 6 p.m. By the way, if I may be so shameless, Monday night at 5, we'll talk to some folks involved with the Community Play Project in Galesburg. They are a group that, another theater group in town, but they're helping those with disabilities act and get on stage along with you and me. So they are casting for a really big production next week, which we'll talk about Monday night at 5. So I invite you to listen and then, please and thank you. But stay with us this morning as we continue this hour with Mark Thomas, owner of Watson Thomas Funeral Home. Again, thanks for coming in this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
It's the one Saturday morning where I you're not traveling to some far-flung location for baseball or something like that.
If I go anywhere today, it'll just be up to Sherrard. So that's where they're playing. So not too bad a drive.
Except it's Sherrard.
Well, whatever.
I'm kidding, of course, but that's okay. But yeah, good luck with the Legion tournament today. Hopefully that works out well. Or you know, you get a few days extra worth of rest if they don't win. So
a win-win.
Either way, everybody wins.
That's right.
There you go. In terms of the funeral business and the operation of a funeral home. I know that you mentioned that you studied mortuary science and that involves a lot of things, but in terms of business owning, is that covered at all? I mean, I guess as much as there's science in terms of how you work with a body and things like that, I imagine you don't ever get completely prepared to be a business owner in that regard.
No, I mean, they'll hit the basics of anything, mm-hmm. the basics of accounting and those kind of things, but truly running a business is not something they teach you in mortuary school. It's, it's kind of one of those boots on the ground thing I learned, school of hard knocks, and what works mm-hmm. and what doesn't work. And my wife, who's an accountant and does all the accounting and actually runs the funeral home.
you almost sound like you didn't want to admit that at first, Mark.
Oh, no, I'll gladly admit. She's the one that keeps...
Trisha's a saint.
More reasons than one. Putting up with me, first of all.
Well, but, I wasn't going to say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I will. That's fine. She'll tell you some days that I'm definitely a much better funeral director than I am a business owner. And, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to the money side, there's some families that, just simply don't have the funds, and my soft, kind heart usually just kind of just looks the other way and still takes care of them and not worry about that so much. And it's not always good from the business standpoint.
Oh, sure.
But I don't know. It's just the way I'm wired.
But that goes back, I think it was so important to what you said in one of our other segments about your caring for
yep.
people. That's really the most important part of
right.
what you do.
Yep. Yep. Obviously we charge what we charge because we need to, and we need to get paid. Otherwise I can't continue to care for people and keep the doors open. But, there's just times where that just has to be put aside and you just have to care for people.
By and large, in terms of caring for people, I'll simply ask, how do you do that? But kind of under the guise of you're dealing with people a lot at some of the worst, saddest times of their lives.
Yeah.
Aren't you?
I'm a pretty faithful guy. So, obviously God just blessed me with the ability to, you know, to be able to do that on a daily basis. And, you know, I have quite a few people say, gosh, how do you deal with death every single day of your life? Isn't it, you know, doesn't it make you sad and doesn't it bring you down? And you know, realistically,
it's kind of why I brought up the mental health issue before the break.
You know, it does mostly, it just wears on you. It doesn't really bring me down. It just wears on you. It takes a toll on your, you know, on your mind and on your body. But, you know, to be able to help a family through losing their loved one is something I cherish doing every single day. It's something I was blessed with the ability to do. And you know, sometimes when the phone rings at 2 o'clock in the morning, I don't want to get out of bed. Or if I work 15 days in a row or whatever it is, sometimes I get a little, you know, frustrated or tired, as anybody does, no matter how much they love what they do. But you know, I definitely wouldn't change it.
And unfortunately, and I hope I don't phrase this question in the way that's going to sound insensitive or something, but I imagine there's probably the way that you help families and the method with which that you do it versus, I imagine there's just other funeral homes where it's more a business, and that must just be heartbreaking in some respects, how it's treated more like a business versus a form of compassion.
And and you'll get that to some degree. I've have friends that have worked at firms that I can't wrap my brain around will do, you know, a couple thousand funerals a year, and I can't wrap my brain around doing 4 or 5 funerals average a day.
My goodness.
Yeah, I can't. You know, there's definitely a larger business aspect to a firm that size, but a true funeral director, no matter the size of firm they're at, that has a caring heart, is going to take care of a family.
Let's kind of go maybe in the last part of this broadcast, in the last minutes, which we still have plenty of time, but in the time we have left here, take me through kind of the process, maybe the beginning. And I want to frame this first in, let's say it's a situation I imagine you deal with a lot where you don't really think about funeral plans much until a loved one dies. What's the first thing that happens in that process?
You know, kind of jumping back on that real quick, you know, it's always one of those things, you know, said people don't really think about it until it happens. And you know, I always, whenever I do a speaking engagement, one of the first things I say is, you know, it really is something you should think about because it's going to happen. It's the one universal thing that's going to happen to every single person out there.
Well, that and taxes.
Well, you can avoid those for a while if you want. You'll end up in prison, but you can avoid those. So you cannot avoid, you know.
So it's either death and taxes or death in prison is what you're saying.
Yeah, so. But
I kid, of course.
Yeah, me too. So,
and I want to talk about that. Why
and carpet. You always need new carpet.
Yeah, exactly. I want to talk. Yes.
Anyway, back to where you were going.
Yeah, but, and I want to talk about maybe sort of the idea of thinking about that ahead of time in a little bit. But let's say, you know, you're not, and you have a loved one that dies, and you, almost right away you kind of have to, one, start thinking about a funeral home, and then two, you kind of, as a funeral home person, you kind of go into, I don't want to say overdrive to try to help them, but that's maybe kind of where your thinking is, right?
Well, it's just, that's when we're called. That's when we do our job. Mm-hmm. We're not funeral helpers. We're not funeral assistants or funeral guiders. We're funeral directors. You know, we direct and help a family through a process that, you know, that we do every single day. We know what the steps are. We certainly sit down and walk through a family that has no idea what they are, because I can't tell you how many times I've sat across from a family and they said, we have no idea what to do. Mom and Dad never talked about what they wanted. We certainly never talked to them about it. What's the first step? I said, well, we got the first step. We're sitting here talking. So, we go at their pace. I mean, it's, you know, we explain what their options are as far as services go, burial versus cremation or body donation or, you know, whatever it is that they might want. We sit down and just talk to them about all their different options out there, and then just, you know, kind of guide through them with that. Of course, we have certain forms that we have to fill out. So, you know, there's always the nuts and bolts questions that we're going to ask, you know, their full name and date of birth, where they were born, those kind of things. So, you know, those are standard things. But when it comes time to get into the person's life and what they enjoyed and, you know, what meant a lot to them. Those are kind of the things that we use to guide us on maybe what kind of services might be appropriate for that person.
Can anyone, regardless of income, afford a funeral these days? I imagine, again, like with any other business, you know, your costs rise and,
right.
and things surrounding that rise and things change like that. But it can a service, a nice, respectable service be affordable?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, you know, we range full services with, you know, people being buried and, you know, there's not people, there's certain people that don't want to be cremated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can certainly arrange for, you know, for a nice service without, you know, spending, you know, $10,000+, you know, it is possible. People do it quite frequently.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned cremation. Well, I'm going to stop and I'll come back to that in a second. But in terms of planning a funeral service and working with the family in that regard, what sorts of things do you tend to ask them to think about? Again, you mentioned cremation versus burial, but I imagine there's more to it in terms of, you know, having to find like perhaps a burial site or a church or a pastor or that sort of thing.
I mean, one of the things that we're fortunate with in Galesburg is we don't have a real transient community.
Yeah.
So a majority of the people that live in Galesburg are either from Galesburg or have family already here. So if they already have family here, they probably already have family buried here somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, they're like, well, we'll probably go to XYZ Cemetery because that's where all of our family is buried at. So, you know, from that standpoint, that, you know, that's beneficial.
Excuse me. And then toward cremation, that's the sort of thing I think that I get the impression that has changed over the years, just in terms of more people wanting cremations versus burials. It seems to me like for a long time that maybe more people wanted to be buried versus cremated, and it seems like that maybe that's gone the other way in recent years, has it?
It's trends. You know, when I started 25 years ago, we were probably somewhere between 15% and 18% cremation. In Knox County last year, our cremation rate was 52% for the entire county. So that's just one of those stats that I can get a hold of as coroner. So that's why I can tell you exactly what that is. But yeah, so it's definitely changed. You know, things change over time, and change is good sometimes. And
that's probably worked out in your favor, especially since you've added the crematory. I imagine for a number of reasons, that's not a decision you kind of take lightly, is it?
No, and it's not one. I didn't just wake up one morning and think, you know, I'm going to build this 4,000 square foot building and put a crematory in. So, you know, it was one of those things that, you know, of course, over the years, I'd just kind of been watching the trends change. And as, you know, cremation rose, I told Tricia, I said, gosh, it makes sense to have our own crematory for multiple reasons, not just mostly, honestly, for two reasons why I wanted to put one in: convenience for us, so we weren't having to travel somewhere else to take the body to be cremated.
Yeah, you didn't. There wasn't really that option anywhere in Knox County for a while.
Well, yeah, no, not for a long while. There wasn't a crematory at all in Knox County for the longest time. So you were traveling outside of the county, and then two, you know, it's always been. I've always taken if somebody calls us to care for their loved one, I've always taken that pretty darn seriously.
Oh, sure.
And the thought of being able to, you know, your loved one never leaves our care. They were always, you know, handled by our caring hands and the staff at our funeral home from beginning till through the cremation process was, you know, something that was extremely important to me.
In terms of staffing, do you have different people covering different aspects of the funeral and burial process at your funeral home? How does that work?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we've got, truly there's three full-time licensed funeral directors. One of them is my wife. She doesn't really do any of the funeral planning and that type of thing on a daily basis. Periodically, she'll step in just because we're tied up and a family will walk in.
She looks at you, otherwise counts the money, rolls her eyes at you, and just moves on from there, I imagine.
Probably rolls her eyes the most.
I imagine for her, did it take a lot to convince her to say add the crematory, just kind of
no.
From a financial standpoint?
No. She knew that was honestly really something that I wanted to do from the day we bought the funeral home.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, she knows I'm kind of a dreamer, and my eyes always kind of light up when I get a new idea, and sometimes it scares her, but, you know, I'm the guy that's always dreaming about what can we do to improve how we care for people. So, she knew in my heart that that was something that needed to be done.
I interrupted you there about talking about the staff and what they handled.
Oh, yeah.
If you could talk.
Okay, go
back down that
road.
You can make
fun of me all you want.
You have your wife and another funeral director.
And then, yep, Tiffany Dowell, who's a licensed funeral director. Mm-hmm. So there's three of us that are there full time. Obviously, my wife, Tricia, handles all the main day-to-day operations. I'm kind of what I guess you'd call the main front guy, so... I meet with the majority of the families and take care of them on the majority. Tiffany does meet with quite a few families as well. She takes care of a lot of the preparation of the loved ones, getting them ready for dressed and those kind of things for a funeral. Mm-hmm. And so that's our three full-time staff. We have about three or four people that just help us on funerals, just funeral assistants. That can help us on funerals because we need extra manpower to drive cars and those kind of things. Mm-hmm. But not somebody we need on a full-time basis. And then a little over, gosh, it's probably been a year and a half ago. Well, almost 2 years ago now, we added a pet crematory.
Mm-hmm.
And when we did that, Brad Collier, a longtime Galesburg resident, licensed funeral director, was retired. I asked him if he was interested in coming back on a kind of a part-time basis and taking care of our pet family. So Brad pretty well handles all of our pet cremations and our pet families, and that's pretty much our main day-to-day staff.
That's probably the other area that's changed over the years. How much, not that people haven't taken their pets very seriously,
sure.
But that I think that's kind of changed over the years where, you know, you think more about your pet when it's time for them to move on.
It's become more personal. They've become more family. You know, I think I remember back as a kid, my dog died and we had to put down, and that was the end of that. I don't really ever know what happened to their ash, you know.
Oh, wow.
You know, I think they just, the vets used to dispose of them, and that was fine, and it was what it was. But as you well know, our dogs or cats in your case, you know, they're, you know.
Thanks for noticing.
How can you not?
drives me crazy.
Yeah, well. Imagine having kids. It's like having a cat, but worse.
Well, yeah.
But
without claws, yeah.
Yeah, well, some days.
Yeah.
But, you know, they are our family. And,
yeah.
You know, and they're such an important part of it. And you know, I love my two dogs. And, gosh, the thought of losing them is pretty tough. And, you know, I don't know why for all those years we weren't caring for people's animals like we were their human family. And, mm-hmm. You know, that was just another way I wanted to be able to care for people.
I'm running behind here and I need to take another break, but hopefully we'll have a minute or two
sure.
to talk about why you should think now as opposed to later about
yeah,
a funeral service.
Got off track on that, didn't we?
Yeah, we did, but that's okay. We'll wrap up with that next. Mark Thomas of Watson Thomas Funeral Home is here on Galesburg Live. It's 8:54.
This is so obviously a political hit piece.
The Rush Limbaugh Show, starting at 11 weekday mornings, WGIL.
It's 8:57 at Galesburg Live. I'm Will Stevenson. Mark Thomas is here from Watson Thomas Funeral Home. I have less than 2 minutes because, the conversation's been interesting for sure. Okay. So, you know, I hate to stop things when they're rolling, but unfortunately we'll have to here, Mark.
Got to pay the bills.
Absolutely. So talk to me about... you know, we hear a lot about how you should consider, you know, pre-need or pre-planning
right.
for a
sure.
funeral, but I guess maybe the reason may seem obvious as to why, but it's really really an important thing, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, we always consider and encourage folks pre-plan their funeral. Now, that can go as far as actually paying for it ahead of time, or if they have, you know, their funds set aside and they just want to leave them where they have them, that's fine as well. But we definitely consider that and encourage families to come in and talk with us and kind of get some of their ideas down on pen and paper, and we can keep it in our files.
What sorts of, in terms of ideas, what should folks be thinking about
sure.
in that regard?
You know, and obviously, you know, ultimately, you know, one of the main questions that we always ask is, what kind of services did your loved one want? And if we don't have that written down, a lot of times we don't know. Mm-hmm. And their children don't know. Or if we're going to have a church funeral, did they have any special music? And they're like, gosh, I don't know. You know, it sure is always simpler when somebody comes in and says, these are my four favorite songs. This is what I want to wear. These are the kind of flowers I like. You know, all those types of details that can be chosen ahead of time without, you know, a lot of undue stress.
So that's the sort of thing you should be thinking about first, but then
right.
and then you think about things like, you know, caskets
right.
and locations and
yep.
burial and,
absolutely.
And that sorts of thing.
Yep. And you know, as we talked earlier, as cremation rises, that's, you know, that's, there's so many different options when it comes to cremation that if cremation is something you're considering, it's definitely a good idea to come in and talk to us or at least with your family of what kind of cremation services you want.
Mm-hmm.
People used to think cremation meant cremation and there was no service. That's not true. That's not even, you know, close to being true. Cremation is considered an alternative form of disposition from burial. That's mm-hmm. it. That's the only difference. So
okay.
you can still have full services and those type of things. But
can a lot of that, even in terms of costs and things like, be covered prior to,
absolutely,
prior to
yeah.
someone's death?
Yeah, you can actually prepay ahead of time and locks in and guarantees your price, and your family will never have to pay any more for the services you've already selected and paid for.
There you go. So, and I imagine that folks needed to or wanted to start thinking about that, they can give you a call and you can get that going.
Yeah, right? They can give us a call, or even simpler than that, they can just hop on our website, watsonthomas.com, and we have pretty much everything on there, pre-arrangement forms, you know, caskets, vaults, urns, all those kind of things on there that they can take a look at in their home on their computer while they're having a cup of coffee.
Phone number?
309-342-1913.
And you're conveniently located next to the Hawthorne Center.
Absolutely. 1849 North Seminary.
All right. Mark Thomas, I meant to talk to you a little bit about being Knox County Coroner, but just
suffice it to say, I guess that's another day.
Suffice it to say, we know you are, and that's all that matters at this point.
Know, and I kind of laughed on my way here that you were going to talk about funerals on Galesburg Live. So
well,
I had to get that
know.
Little bit of humor in there because I have a strange sense of humor some days.
Well, you and me both. So I'm glad we've tried to keep that at bay this hour.
That's right.
Mark Thomas, owner of Watson Thomas Funeral Home, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
It's 9:01. We'll get to today's homeowner in progress following news and weather next on WGIL. Have a great weekend. I'll see you Monday night at 5 for Galesburg's Evening News. Nick Isher has news right now.